As Jason was saying, this is night three of our prophecy series. So we've gone over a few topics so far. Last night we went over the second coming, which was very good and something that we all look forward to. But tonight we're going to go over the topic of hellfire. This one topic alone has confused so many people and has driven so many people away from God. It's a very serious topic, and if we study it and look into it, we see that even in this topic, we see God's love. So I hope that by the end of this topic that we will all feel a little bit better and comforted knowing that God is good. Monday night, we're going to come back, and we're going to go over the great controversy. So we're going to see where sin all began. We're going to see, did God create the devil? How did sin enter this world? And how it affects us today. On Tuesday night, we're going to go over what happens when you die. And Thursday night, we're going to go over the law of love. But before we get into tonight's topic, let's have a word of prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, I thank you again for bringing us all here. I can't thank you enough for your word and for the comforting promises that you have given us. And I ask that you please guide me now with the Holy Spirit and just help me as we get through this topic. And I ask for your will to be done. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. So a review from last night. Christ's second coming is a visual event. Revelation 1:7 says, every eye will see him. Jesus does not come back alone. Matthew 13:39, we see that he comes back with all the angelic host. It's an audible event. Bible tells us that Jesus comes with the trumpet of God, with the voice of the archangel. And in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, the righteous are resurrected. Those who are dead, who believed in Christ and were waiting for his coming, are then resurrected at his second coming. And in 1 Thessalonians 4:17 says, the righteous living are caught up to meet Jesus in the air. And in 1 Corinthians 15:54, all the righteous are changed and given the gift of immortality at the same time when Christ returns. So, we went over the second coming. Now it continues. In Revelation 20, verse 4, it says, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Speaking of the righteous. So, what will the righteous be doing during this 1,000-year period? Revelation 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. So, tells us right here, during the 1,000-year period, that judgment is given to the saints. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, Paul gives us a little more insight on what this means. So he says, do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Verse 3, do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? So, in Revelation 24, it gives us a little insight that we're going to be given judgment. During that 1,000-year period, God is going to open up the record books to every single person that has ever lived on this planet, and we are going to look at the records. The saints are going to overview and look at God's judgment. We are going to be able to see why certain individuals did not make it into heaven and why others did make it into heaven. If you think about this, if you're familiar with the story of Stephen, when Stephen was stoned, there was a man standing there whose name was Saul. So the last thing that Stephen remembered was that this man, Saul, was persecuting God's people. Well, after Stephen died, Saul was converted, and his name was changed to Paul. So when Stephen and Paul meet each other in heaven, Stephen's going to be looking at him, scratching his head, be like, God, I think you might have made a mistake here, because it's the last thing I remember, this guy was holding the coats of the people who were killing me. But he'll be able to look at the record and see that this man had a change of heart. Not only that, but we'll be able to see and be comforted to know why other individuals did not make it into heaven. So for instance, if I had a good friend who I cared about, and unfortunately they did not make it, I'll be able to look at his record. And I'll be able to see that God tried over and over and over again to reach this young man's heart. But he rejected him over and over again. So eventually, God left him alone with his decision. That's the beauty about God, is that he does not force us to worship him or to follow him. He gives us the freedom of choice. So during that 1,000-year period, the saints will be comforted with the thought that everyone who is in heaven should be there, and everyone who is not, there should not be there. So what happens to the wicked? Going over the topic of hell, a lot of people joke around about hell. They talk about it as if it's some type of resort run by the devil for the wicked people, that they're going to just continue doing their wickedness. Others talk about it as an eternal burning or tormenting and torture done by a vengeful God. But what does the Bible really say about hell? Hell is used 54 times in the Bible. In the Old Testament, the word Sheol. In the New Testament, Hades is used 41 times, referring to the grave. In the New Testament, 12 times used as the word Gehenna, which is a place of burning. So it does us well sometimes when we study the Bible, when we're looking into these topics and we come across some of these things, that we look back to the original language to see what the original meaning of the word was so we can apply it rightly. Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 32. Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, disaster shall go forth from nation to nation. A great whirlwind shall be raised up from the farthest parts of the earth. And at that day, the slain of the Lord shall be from one end of the earth even to the other end of the earth. They shall not be lamented or gathered or buried. They shall become refuse on the ground. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. So at Christ's second coming, all the righteous will be praising him, while the wicked will be slain or will drop dead at just seeing the presence of a holy, pure God. Wickedness and holiness does not mix. If you remember the story of Moses, Moses wanted to see God's brightness. And God put him in the cleft of the rock and covered him and walked past him where he saw his backside. And even then, Moses' face was shining bright. And all he did was see the backside. He didn't see the front. So imagine somebody who's completely wicked and completely rebellious against the Lord. If they saw his face, his glorious, wonderful face, what would happen? Well, the Bible tells us in Jeremiah that they will all be slain just by looking at him. And the wicked will be laying across the entire earth, while the righteous will be taken up into heaven. Revelation 20, verse 5, it says, but the rest of the dead, speaking of the wicked, did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. So this is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So, the Bible talks about two resurrections. The first resurrection is the second coming, when Christ resurrects the saints. The second resurrection is at the end of the 1,000 years, when the wicked are resurrected. So the first resurrection is the righteous. The second resurrection is the lost. Revelation 25, but the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. If the wicked who have died are not in hell yet, where are they? It's a good question, right? John 5, 28 and 29. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So even in the book of John, it talks about two separate resurrections. 2 Peter 2, verse 9. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. So, right away, we're getting a picture that the wicked are not going straight to hell when they die. God preserves them all for one day, just as he preserves the righteous all for one day. So at the end of the 1,000 years, out of the grave, then they are judged, and then they are punished. So what happens to Satan during this whole period? Revelation 20, verse 1. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should not deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. So, at the start of 1,000 years, you have the righteous going to heaven, you have the wicked dead, and you have Satan bound to the bottomless pit. That word is abusos. Let's look at Jeremiah 4:23. I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, and the heavens, and they had no light. Bottomless pit is this earth. If you remember in the creation story, they talked about the earth being without form and void. It's going to be in the same exact state when Christ comes again. Everything is going to be demolished. And Satan is going to be bound here for those 1,000 years. Verse 24, I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and the hills moved lightly. I beheld, and lo, there was no man, and all the birds of the heavens were fled. I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was as a wilderness. And all the cities thereof were broken down at the presence of the Lord and by his fierce anger. When Christ comes again, between all the events leading up to that very point and him coming through the clouds, everything is going to be in ruins. This world is not going to look like it does today. Revelation 20, verse 7. Now when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. So what Satan's punishment starts at that beginning of the 1,000 years. See, when the wicked are all dead, there's absolutely nobody left on the earth. His punishment is to be bound to this earth to observe what his sin had caused. He's going to see the entire annihilation of the world. He's going to see it laying in ruins, all the dead bodies laying all over the place, and he's going to have to reflect for 1,000 years what his rebellion had caused. When he's released from the prison or from the pit is when the wicked are resurrected, because now he has somebody to work with again. It says in verse 8, and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, whose number is as the sand of the sea. Revelation 20, verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one, according to their works. So right before the wicked are judged, Satan is released, the wicked are raised up, he tries to deceive them, to try and overtake Christ and the saints, and then the books are opened. And every single person looks at their record. So what happens after the second resurrection? Job 21, verse 32. Yet shall he be brought to the grave and shall remain in the tomb. Do you not know that the wicked is reserved to the day of destruction? They shall be brought forth to the day of wrath. Back to Revelation chapter 20, verse 9. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. So, order of events. Christ comes through the clouds. The wicked are slain by the brightness of his coming. The righteous dead are resurrected, brought up to meet Jesus in the clouds. The righteous living follow. Satan is bound to the earth for 1,000 years, while the righteous are in heaven for 1,000 years, and the wicked are dead for 1,000 years. Three different groups. Then Christ comes back to this earth in the holy city, New Jerusalem, with the saints. The wicked are resurrected. Satan is loosed from the prison. Satan tries to deceive the wicked, making them think that they could overtake the city. Then the judgment is opened up to the wicked. They see their record, and then they are destroyed, as well as Satan and his angels, and death and all the wickedness in this world is all consumed at one time. Verse 15, and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So, fate of the wicked. The wicked will die, Romans 6:23. The wicked will perish, Luke 13:3. The wicked will be burnt up, Malachi 4:1. The wicked will be utterly consumed, Psalms 37:20. And the wicked will be turned into ashes, Malachi 4:3. And the wicked will be as though they had not been, Obadiah 16. The first death is the death that we die as a natural result of living in a sinful world. That's the first death. The second death is an eternal death as the result of personal rebellion against God. So does God torment the wicked forever and ever and ever? 2 Peter 2:9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. So, reiterating what we already went over, the dead are not going straight to hell. The wicked dead are not going straight to hell when they die, to burn eternally. They're reserved for a day of judgment and punishment. John 12:48. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. So the wicked are all waiting for that last judgment day. All right, example. Say I took a piece of paper, and I wrote a note on that piece of paper. And I took a lighter, and I lit that piece of paper on fire. What would happen? It would burn it up, right? To ashes. It wouldn't exist anymore. You would never know what was on that paper anymore. That is how it's going to be with the wicked. they will be burned up to the point where they just don't exist anymore. It's still sad and upsetting that it has to come to that, but like I said before, God gives everybody the choice to follow him. Those who reject it, he gave warning over and over again. It's either eternal life or death. So we can take comfort in the thought that even our loved ones, if they reject God, they will not be punished and tormented forever and ever. Only a short season. It is the punishment that is everlasting, not the punishing. This is so crucial to understand. I grew up in the Catholic Church. So they taught us that you're either going to heaven, purgatory, or you're burning forever in hell. That is not very appealing to be a part of. Two out of the three are bad. One's worse than the other. So you can imagine why so many people have just rejected God. How can a loving God torture people for all eternity? For just 70 years or maybe 60 years of sin? How does that equal out to all eternity of being burned? It doesn't. It doesn't make any sense. So a lot of people have walked away from God and turned their back completely on it, have become atheists or whatever because of this misnomer and this belief. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jude 7, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth as for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Genesis 19:17. Going back to the story now. So it came to pass when they had brought them outside that he said, escape for your life. Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed. This was the angel speaking to Lot. Get out of the city. It's going to be destroyed. Genesis 19:24. Then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. Same exact thing that Christ is going to do in the end with the wicked. So is Sodom and Gomorrah still burning today? It's not. Eternal fire. The effects of the fire are eternal. The city was burned to ashes and everything in it. So will be with the wicked and sin and Satan and the demons. All of it will be destroyed. Christ has been trying to call people back to him for years to keep them from going to, down that road. 2 Peter 2:6, turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterwards would live ungodly. So it's an example that God uses to show what is going to happen to the wicked. Isaiah 47:14. Behold, they shall be as stubble. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. It shall not be a coal to be warmed by, nor a fire to sit by. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven. And all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly, will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch. You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts. So more and more we look into the subject, we see example after example, the wicked are going to be burnt up. They're going to turn to ashes. Psalm 37:10. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord, like the splendor of the meadows, shall vanish. Into smoke they shall vanish away. Matthew 10:28. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. So God is saying here, do not be afraid of the first death, but rather be afraid of the second death, because there is no coming back from that. The first death, Christ is ready and willing and able to resurrect us for that special day, but that second death, there is no coming back from. Obadiah 16, they shall be as though they had never been. It really can't get any more simpler and plain as that. Does God enjoy the destruction of the wicked? Ezekiel 33:11. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his ways and live. Turn. Turn from your evil ways. For why should you die, O house of Israel? Do you see this? God does not take any pleasure in this. He is trying to turn people away from that path of death. And it's not just for the house of Israel back in those days. It's for everybody in this world. Isaiah 28:21. For the Lord will rise up as at Mount Perazim. He will be angry as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his awesome work, and bring to pass his act, his unusual act. So it's not something that God does normally. The Bible tells us right here, it's something unusual for him to destroy the wicked or to cause death. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Christ is being very patient with us and doing as much as he can and working as hard as he can with every individual, any work he can, just to try and save as many people as possible. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. Even in the Old Testament, where people think that God is different than in the New Testament, he was calling people to repentance. God does not change, ever. So what is the purpose of hell? Matthew 25:41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. God prepared hellfire to destroy Satan and the rebellious angels who followed him. It was never designed for mankind until man sinned and rebellion entered this world. Then we got roped into this category as well. But Christ stepped in on our behalf so that we can avoid this destruction. 2 Peter 3:10. And the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. This entire world is going to be engulfed in flames because it has been tainted with sin for so many years that God has to destroy everything. And there's a reason. Isaiah 65:17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind. Nahum 1:9. What do you conspire against the Lord? He will make an utter end of it. Affliction will not rise up a second time. When God destroys sin, and all sinfulness, he made the promise back in Nahum. It will not rise up a second time. He has to destroy everything that is sinful, including the devil, who is the originator of sin, the root of it. He has to destroy the devil and all of the devil's works. And anybody who is still clinging on to sin and does not let go will unfortunately be burnt up with it. Revelation 21, verse 1. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Can you imagine how wonderful it's going to be not to have pain anymore? I mean, I'm not an old man, but I have aches and pains now. You know, I'm looking forward to the day where my shoulder doesn't bother me when I wake up in the morning. I can only imagine how some other people may feel. Maybe somebody who was born blind, you know, never saw anything before. And the moment that Christ recreates everything, the first thing they're going to see is Jesus and recreating everything. It's amazing. Imagine an old apartment building. Now, this apartment building is beat up. It's infested with cockroaches and rats. The windows are busted out. The walls are falling apart. It stinks. It's got mildew and mold all over the place. But it's full of tenants. The rent must be really low. So the owner of this apartment building comes by with a notice of demolition. In a month, I'm going to come by and destroy this building. So, at first, the people don't take notice. They just keep going about their lives. Another warning goes out. In 3 weeks, I'm going to destroy this building. Okay, some people got the picture. They're starting to leave. Another notice. 2 weeks. Well, I guess we got to go, you know. 1 more week left. A few more people leave. Tomorrow, the building is going to be destroyed. You need to get out. But still, the people are not leaving. So what happens? They come to destroy the building, and the building is destroyed with the people in it. That's how it's going to be with this world. God has been calling us to come out of this world for centuries. He gave us His word and His promises that He will destroy this world. We're not to hold on to the things of this world because it's going to be burnt up. And the reason He's destroying this world is so that He can recreate it back to the way that it was supposed to be before sin entered the world. Isaiah 51, verse 6. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look on the earth beneath. For the heavens will vanish away like smoke. The earth will grow old like a garment, and those who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will not be abolished. Friends, God has given us an invitation today to stand with Him and to reach out to Him and to follow Him, to come out of this mess that we have been in for our entire life and to change things around. He's opened up the way of salvation for us. All we have to do is walk in it. If it is your desire, please stand up with me and we'll have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, I can't thank you enough for these promises that you've given us and the warnings. There's no excuse, Lord, for us not to have eternal life. It is only our decision. I ask that you please guide us. Please lead us with the Holy Spirit into that straight and narrow path that leads to everlasting life. I ask for your will to be done. I ask that you may get us all home safely. For I ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Tomorrow, we're off, but we're going to come back Monday night to go over the great controversy. So please come back again, and we hope to see you. Have a good night, and may the Lord be with you all.